It is 83rd chapter, 83. So this is continuing the theme of Krishna meeting all the Vrajavasis and many other people at Kurukshetra. So this particular chapter, 83rd chapter, describes Draupadi's meeting with the queens of Dwaraka. The whole chapter is their discussion, and next chapter is also another crucial chapter where several sages give their teachings at Kurukshetra, and Krishna also addresses the sages. And after this, Vasudeva and Devaki, they get overwhelmed with some Aishwarya mood, because they have heard so many glories of Krishna, they were imbued with Aishwarya, because their Vatsalya is not pure Vatsalya like the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. They were overwhelmed. So these few topics we will cover. First verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tathanagrahya Bhagavan Gopinam Sagurur Gatihi Yudhishthiram Atha Pruchat Sarvamscha Suhrdo Vyayam.
And the very purpose of their lives showed them his mercy. He then met with Yudhishthir and all his other relatives and inquired from them about their welfare.
So, tatha anugruhya bhagavan gopinam sa gurur gatihi. So far Krishna had a short discussion with the gopis up to the 82nd chapter. Here Krishna is described as Bhagavan, the possessor of all opulences. And Gopinam sa Gurur Gatihi. Guru is spiritual master. Gati means the goal or destination. For all the gopis, Krishna is like Guru and Gati, both. Basically the very purpose of their lives. A Guru is one who directs one's movements. Everyone conducts themselves according to the directions given by a guru. But the gopis, whatever they do, whatever they think, whatever they contemplate on, it's all in connection with Krishna. So that's why this kind of relationship could also be highlighted. A disciple's whole life should be centered around the instructions given by guru. What is my guru's thought process? What is my guru's mood? What he wants me to do? That's the constant contemplation of a disciple. Am I aligning my words and actions and my sensual activities, thoughts, everything with the instructions and with the mood and expectations of my guru or not? This is the greatest responsibility of a disciple. Supposed to be. So, same thing is happening with gopis also. And gati, here, when a disciple is being guided by a guru, guru shows them the goal, destination as Krishna, not oneself. But here, Krishna happens to be both the guru and gati of the gopis. That's their speciality. So, their gati is Krishna. So, ultimately everybody's gati is Krishna only. Gatir bharta, prabhu sakshi, nivasam, sharanam, suhrut. So, Krishna is the ultimate destination of everyone. Reaching the lotus feet of Krishna is the highest, topmost, lofty aspiration that a Gaudiya Vaishnava can think of. Right? So, aradhyo bhagavan rajesha tanayastad dhama vrindavanam. So, Ramya kachidupasana vrajavadhu vargena va kalpita And Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan. Our most worshipable object and goal is Krishna. Right? And how? Which Krishna? So Krishna is there in Dwarka also, Mathura also, Hastinapur also, and so many other places he visited also. But the mood that Krishna exhibited and the whole attire and his demeanor in Vrindavan is the topmost worshipable thing for a Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava. Tadhama Vrindavanam. And Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Varge Navakalpita. The highest form of worship that is done to Krishna is actually done by the gopis. Same thing is mentioned here. Gopinam sa gururgatihi. So Krishna, Vrindavan, and gopis worship. And Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading Bhagavatam. That is the highest praman. Bhagavatam is describing that Krishna is gopinam sa gururgatihi. And prema pumartho mahan. The greatest aspiration, goal, purpose of life is to develop love for Krishna, prema. So all that is captured here. Gopinam sa gurur gatihi. So Chakvartipad points out an additional meaning to this. Gopinam sa gurur gatihi. Krishna is the goal of all sadhus in general. But for the gopis, he is specifically the goal, which is guru. Guru means a teacher, a spiritual master. So guru can also mean the most important and most vital thing and prominent thing, in the sense of completely eclipsing the significance of all other possible goals. Gurur gatihi, gati is destination. Now you want to go to, say, Delhi. That's your ultimate destination. But you go to Delhi. To go to Delhi, first you need to go out of Galtare and go to Mumbai. Right? Mumbai is your immediate destination. Your first gati is Mumbai. And from Mumbai you take a train or something like that. You may not get a direct train, you may take a connecting train. Or you may not get a direct flight, you may take a connecting flight. So like that you may have multiple destinations, but ultimate destination is Delhi. Right? Similarly, to reach the lotus feet of Krishna, one may have to halt at different places, pause at different places, and then cross certain milestones, right? And all this can also be seen as goals, gatis. But the guru gati means the highest gati, is Krishna. The ultimate gati is Krishna. So there could be multiple goals for a devotee, practicing devotee, just to achieve some consistency in his schedules and sadhana and getting up early in the morning. So these are also definitely goals, his aspirations. But ultimate aspiration is developing love for Krishna. Gurur gatihi, of all gatis, the topmost gati, guru gati, is this. So the word guru can be taken as spiritual master also, or it can be taken as the most predominant one. And apply it to gati, as an adjective to gati. Okay. Second, ta evam lokanathena pariprishtaha susatkritaha pratyochur hrishta manasaha tatpadeksha hatamhasaha.
Feeling greatly honored, King Yudhishthir and others, freed of all sinful reactions by seeing the feet of the Lord of the universe, gladly answered his inquiries.
So, in the previous verse, it said that Krishna then met with Yudhishthir and other relatives and inquired about their welfare. And now Yudhishthir is sharing what happened to him and then his welfare. Right? He's answering his queries. So, there are so many relatives, and one of the most prominent relatives is Yudhishthir, like that. So, te evam lokanathena. Te means they. Who are they? Yudhishthira and others. So, all are replying, right? Who exactly replied is not very clearly mentioned, but Krishna's relatives replied, and one of the prominent relatives is Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? Pratyuchur Hrishta Manasaha, with a joyful mind they started speaking. Tat Padeksha Hatam Hasaha, Tat Pada Iksha, just by seeing the lotus feet of Krishna, Hata Amhasaha, once all sins are destroyed. Right? So, the opportunity that we have to daily see the lotus feet of Krishna is not to be taken for granted. So, just if you stay outside for few days, you will understand. 1 week, you are deprived of the darshan, right? Direct darshan. 1 month, you are deprived. 1 year, you are deprived. What will happen? Something else will occupy the mind, right? So the opportunity to daily see the darshan and lotus feet of Krishna is such a rare thing. Tat padeksha hatam hasaha. We don't know what we are going through. Just by taking darshan every day, just by reading Bhagavatam every day, just by attending Mangalarti or sitting in Japa with other people every day, how much we are getting purified, we don't know. The outside world is devoid of this opportunity. If you just go outside the gate, till you reach the gate of some other temple, in some other location, whatever is there on the pathway, on the path, it's like most of it is contaminated by material affection, material aspirations and material goals, and it's unimaginable for someone who is practicing, right, to stay there. So, there is tat padeksha hatam hasaha. So, we are getting purified just by seeing the lotus feet of Krishna. So, what the relatives are replying is mentioned here. Third verse onwards. Kuto shivam tvat charanam bhujasavam. Mahan manasto mukhanishrutam kvachit. Pibanti ye karna putair alam prabho. Deham bhritam deha kridasma asprutichidam.
Lord Krishna's relatives said, O Master, how can a misfortune arise for those who have taken even once freely drunk the nectar coming from your lotus feet? This intoxicating liquor pours into the drinking cups of their ears, having flowed from the minds of the great devotees through their mouths. It destroys the embodied soul's forgetfulness of the creator of their bodily existence.
This is such a brilliant verse. And not a new verse, not a new concept. Hundreds of times we have already recited, we have already discussed this concept. So that means the repetition only just re-declares the importance of this concept. What they are saying, Kuto Shivam Tvat Charanambuja Ashivam. Kuta Ashivam. Shivam is auspiciousness. Ashivam means inauspiciousness. What kind of inauspiciousness can enter us if Tvat Charanambuja Ashivam. Tvat Charana means your lotus feet. Asavam means this nectar. If we come in contact with the nectar from your lotus feet, what inauspiciousness can touch us? All the relatives of Krishna are saying. So how do you get access to that nectar of Krishna's lotus feet? Mahan manasto mukha nishritam kvachit. That nectar is being emanated from the lotus mouths of great devotees who glorify Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet are carried constantly in the hearts by such great devotees. When they speak out, the saffron dust particles of Krishna's lotus feet will emanate from their mouths. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyato bhavat padam bhoja sudha kananilaha smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam yogi namno vitaratyalam varaihi. Right? So mahan manasto means from their minds are occupied. Mind is not just here, although we say that mind is here. Maharaj said that once. So mind is in the heart. It's just maybe physical mechanism is there, brain is there. Oftentimes people point that out. But so mahan manasto mukha nishrisam kvachit. Because within their minds they carry Krishna, when they speak out the glorifications of Krishna, all that will emanate and that will purify. So, pibantiye, so when devotees are speaking Krishna katha, nectar is coming out from their mouths. Pibantiye, and the person who is hearing will drink it. How? Karnaputair alam prabho. They hear it through their ears. Pibantiye bhagavata atmanasatam kathamrutam shravanaputeshu samhrutam. Punantite vishaya vidushitasayam vrajantita charana saroruhantikam. So when nectar comes through mouth of pure devotees who are glorifying Krishna, nectar is drunk through the ears of sincere hearers who grab it. So what will happen then? Deham bhartam deha krit asmriti chidam. So whatever forgetfulness is created by being entrapped in this material body will be lost. That is smritim punar visprita tattvartmanam. So devotees, by glorifying Krishna, by reading Bhagavatam and other scriptures, by reciting them, they just remind our lost connection with Krishna. So to be able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is not an opportunity that is freely available for anyone. Because by regularly hearing Bhagavatam, we are consciously or unconsciously, we are being reminded of our lost connection with Krishna. Millions and millions of layers of impressions, material impressions, are covering the soul. Right? Every time the soul enters one body, along with that body there is a covering of forgetfulness, covering of avidya, covering of illusion. There are multiple layers within each birth. Like that, we are covered with millions of layers of such material impressions, right? Illusory impressions. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we are uncovering that. We are, like, layer by layer, we are removing that and trying to dig deep within. Oh, what am I? I'm pure spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Jivar Swarupa Hai Krishna Ranitya Das. The theoretical information that we have now will convert into a realization when we repeatedly hear and make an honest and sincere attempt to apply those things. Sometimes you may get a slight glimpse when you hear something from Prabhupada or from Sukadeva Goswami, when you read something, just one glimpse will come. My God, what am I aspiring for? Right? A overwhelming feeling of enlightenment, selflessness, surrender, charanagati, right, love. So all this will come suddenly for a moment. And Maya is so powerful that within a moment she can transform that glimpse of spiritual experience into some material attachment. So that you just now you had such a great blissful experience taking the darshan of the deities or participating in some kirtan in the festival. Abhishek is going on. Suddenly you get a glimpse of, wow, such a great opulence, such a great fortune I have to be able to see. Such great point that Prabhupada spoke here. So we develop some appreciation suddenly. And Maya is so powerful, within 1 minute, within half minute, within few seconds, we are covered again. And we are being diverted by, say, some criticism of some devotee, or just focusing our mind on some issue, right? Some problem, or some material thought, right? Some lusty aspiration, so like that. So that's why we need to regularly hear. So pibantiye karna putai ralam prabho. We need to constantly fill the ear holes with the nectar of Krishna Katha emanating from great devotees, from Prabhupada, from his sincere followers, from Sukadeva Goswami, from Krishna. So unless we keep our ears regularly in contact with Krishna Katha, the possibility of getting diverted is very, very much there. Right? So our presence in this process is quite volatile, owing to the fact that Maya is so powerful. And it's not that we are doing this process since time immemorial. We are being bombarded with material impressions since time immemorial. Just a decade of irregular practice may not be able to nullify the whole thing. So we need to hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna. We need to hold on to the association of devotees. We need to regularly nourish ourselves with the sound vibration. Then there is hope. So, because Sukadeva Goswami said this 100 times so far already. 10th canto, 83rd chapter, he is still saying the same thing. 2nd canto he began, Pibantaya Bhagavat Atmanasatam Kathamrutam. Is there any difference between that verse and this verse? 4th canto he said, Sautama Shloka Mahan Mukhachyato Nakamaye Nata Tadapaham Kuchin. Is there any difference between this verse and that verse? Why he is saying the same thing again? Is it redundant? Then you just condense Bhagavatam, and then you make the condensed Bhagavatam like this. 4-5 page bus. Right? But once you make it condensed, when you discuss, you elaborate the same thing. Right? So, Sukadeva Goswami is not speaking something redundant because we keep forgetting this. Right? 4th verse. Hitvatma dhama vibhudhatma kritastvas avastham. Ananda samplama makhanda makuntha bodham. Kalo apasrishta nigama vana atta yoga. Maya kritim paramaham sagatim natasma.
The radiance of your personal form dispels the threefold effects of material consciousness. And by your grace, we become immersed in total happiness. You are ultimate by virtue of unrestricted awareness. By your yogmaya potency, you have assumed this human form for protecting the Vedas, which had been threatened by time. We bow down to you, the final destination of perfect saints.
So, tva atma dhamma vibhudha atma krita tri avastham. Nice line. So the first atma in this verse is referring to Krishna's beautiful spiritual personal form. And vibhudhatma, the second atma, is referring to the soul who is covered by material consciousness. So by coming in touch with that supreme atma, Krishna, and his personal form, and the illumination of his personal form, right? The darkness that is covering this atma, jivatma, is dispelled, right? When we connect, when this jivatma connects with the paramatma, right, and comes in exposure with the illumination of that atma, then the darkness of this atma is gone. So, ananda samplavam akandham akuntha bodham. So, the Lord's form is this ananda samplavam, right? It's like ecstatic, akantha, akhandam, unlimited, akuntha, unrestricted bodham, knowledge, right? So, by Krishna's yogamaya potency, he has assumed this human form for protecting the Vedas which had been threatened by time. So now we are offering our obeisances unto you. So the intelligence of a conditioned soul is purified of material contamination just by coming in contact with the effulgence of Krishna's form. Right? So now you may take it as one perspective of this could be Brahman effulgence also. Even there also there is some, what to say, dispelling of ignorance. But ultimately that's not what devotees are aspiring for. So, this verse comes. Sanchintayet bhagavatas charanaravindam vajrankusad dhaja sarvaruha lachyanadyam uttunga rakta velasan nakachakravala jyotsnabhirahatamuhad hridayandhakar. Same concept here. Uttunga rakta velasan nakha chakravala. From the toenails of Krishna's lotus feet, a beautiful effulgence emanates that forms circle like moon. Uttunga rakta velasan nakha chakravala. Then jyotsna, by that effulgence, jyotsna bhir ahata mahadhradayandhakaram. That can completely dispel the thick gloom of darkness and ignorance that is covering our hearts. Similar thing is mentioned here. So now that you have already reached the end of 10th canto, whenever you are reading some verses, you can try to recollect what Sukadeva Goswami must have already mentioned this concept earlier. Nothing new will come. Past times are new, but the concepts are more or less repeating. You will find it especially in Uddhava Gita. Uddhava Gita is like compilation of all the philosophical concepts together, more elaborate than Bhagavad Gita. So if you are not doing personal study, group study now, Uddhava Gita will force you to come together. We have observed this in all the batches earlier. 10th canto only past times, you just study on your own also sometimes. But you have to take shelter of some group. Otherwise, you can't handle Uddhava Gita. Next, not only Uddhava Gita, before that 5 chapters of Nimi Navayogendra Samvada is there. That's also quite elaborate. Very elaborate. 4-5 pages per quotes. So, all this is, this relatives of Krishna, they are saying, as an answer to Krishna's inquiry about their welfare. Krishna inquired about their welfare, right? He inquired them, Yudhishthira and other people. And they are answering like this. Right? They say that, how then the Lord's relatives imply, can we ever suffer misfortune? We are always immersed in the absolute happiness. Ananda samplavam akhanda akunta bodham. So now rishis are saying, Sri Rishi Ruvacha ityuttama shloka sikhamanim janeshu abhishtu vatsvak andhaka kauravastriyaham Sametya Govinda Katha Mitho Grunams Triloka Gitaha Srunu Varnayamite. Here the Rishi is Sonaka Sukadev Goswami. Great says, yeah.
As the Yudhishthir and the others were thus praising Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of all sublimely glorified personalities, the women of Andhaka and Kaurava clan met with one another and began discussing the topics about Govinda that are sung throughout the three worlds. Please listen as I relate these to you.
Iti uttama shloka sikhamanim. Uttama shloka is one who is glorified in choicest poetry, that you know. Uttama shloka sikhamani. Sikhamani is the crest jewel. That is Krishna. He is the best of all Uttama Shlokas. So, as Krishna is having a discussion with Yudhishthira and other relatives, a parallel discussion is going on amongst the women. So, generally when people gather together, some relatives meet or some family get-togethers, all ladies will come, go to here and then they start chit-chatting. Gents will come together, they start discussing. But here the speciality of this discussion is, Krishna is the center of both their discussions. But in regular households, something else is the center, right? Is the center of their discussions. From now onwards, from 6th verse till the end of the chapter, there is a description of the discussion amongst Draupadi and the queens of Krishna. How many queens Krishna had? 16,108 queens. Can you imagine all of them coming at Kurukshetra, their tents and their accommodation in Prasadam, everything is arranged there. Not only that, Dwarkavasis are coming. Kurukshetra, Hastinapurvasis are coming, Vrajavasis are coming. So many people from so many countries are coming. How many pandals must have been erected at Kurukshetra? How many servants must be there? How many volunteers must be there? How much cooking is being done? If we are getting exhausted with the yatra of 4,000-5,000 devotees attending, we can only imagine the kind of gatherings that were mentioned in Bhagavatam. Their capacities are also different, intelligence is different. The whole magnitude of operations there is unimaginable to a Kali Yuga person. Sri Draupadi Vacha, He Vaidarbhyachyuto Bhadre, He Jambavati Kaushale, He Satyabhame Kalindi, Shabhye Rohini Lakshmane, He Krishnapatya Etanno, Brutevo Bhagavan Swayam, Upayeme Yatha Lokam, Anukurvan Swamayaya. So Draupadi met with all the queens of Krishna and spoke like this. Oh Vaidarbhi, hey Vaidarbhi. That means Rukmini. Vaidarbhi is Rukmini. Next, Bhadre. Bhadra is another queen. Jambavati and Satyabhama, Kalindi, Shaibhya, Rohini. This Rohini is not Balaramji's mother. Krishna also had a queen named Rohini. She is one amongst the queens, 16,000 annotated queens. 16,000 queens that Krishna brought from Narakasur. Right? So she said, please tell me how the Supreme Lord Achyuta, imitating the ways of this world by his mystic power, came to marry each of you. So Draupadi wanted to know their marriage stories. That's what ladies discuss amongst themselves, right? These are some of the themes of their discussion. But whatever they discuss, the themes may match, but the main content, main substance, the topmost subject matter for discussion is Krishna-centered. So how did Krishna marry all of you? I want to listen. Because Draupadi could not attend all these marriages. Right? And many of them also did not attend each other's marriages. Rukmini got the opportunity to attend all the other marriages. Most of the other marriages. But Satyabhama could not attend Rukmini's marriage. Right? No one could attend Rukmini's marriage because she is the first queen. So now, through this discussion, you enter into those memories. Getting right? Now, some devotees who have been around for 20 years, 30 years here in this ashram, sometimes they share their experiences before you joined. What happened here? Right? Before you came to Vidyapeet. How was Vidyapeet? When we discuss, sometimes you feel like, oh, entering those times and, oh, it was like that. Huh? No Wi-Fi at that time. Oh. No such open classrooms at that time. So like that you feel a little surprised and it's exciting. So like that they were discussing. Next, Rukmini is describing her marriage story. Her love story before marriage story. Sri Rukmini Yuvacha Chaityaya Marpayitam Udyatak Karmukeshu Rajeshvajeya Bhata Shekhari Tanghari Renu Ninye Mrugendra Iva Bhagami Javi Yuthat Tat Shri Niketa Charanostu Mamarchanarya. Here Chidyadaya Marpayutum Udyata Karmukeshu. So Chaidya, this Chedi, the Yuvraj of Chedi, Shishupal. So Chaidyadaya means there are so many other people headed by this fellow. Right? Chaidyaya, Chaidyadaya ne. Chaidyaya ma arpayutum Udyata. So Rukmini's parents, if not parents actually, only Rukmi. He is excited to give Rukmini to Shishupal. And his father Bhishmaka was obliged. He couldn't say anything. So, Raja Shvajaya Bhata Shekhari Tangri Renuhu. So, here, when all the kings held up their bows, ready to assure that I would be presented to Shishupal, He who puts the dust of his feet on the heads of invincible warriors took me from their midst. Who is that? Krishna. So, Krishna is described in a very valorous way. When gopis describe, well, how do they describe Krishna? They describe Krishna as Barha Pidam Natavaravapu, Akshanvatam Falamidam Naparam Vidamaha. Govinda Venu Manumoda Mayura Nrityam Yairva Nipita Manurakta Kataksham Moksham. So like that they describe. When Krishna plays flute, all the Mayuras, peacocks will come and dance. Then when Krishna, plays flute, the rivers will come and make their offerings of flowers, lotuses at his lotus feet. So like that they describe. But when Rukmini, the mood is different, right? Both are Madhurya people, but this Madhurya is tinged with Aishwarya, that Madhurya is pure Madhurya. There is no Aishwarya there. So Lord Chaitanya describes the difference between all these rasas to Rupa Goswami in the 19th chapter of Madhya Lila. So there it's mentioned about these five rasas, and this rasa is basically inspired by Rati. There is Dasya Rati, Vatsalya Rati, Sakhya Rati. So Rati is the particular type of attraction that you have for Krishna. What flavor it is? Is it a parental kind of attraction? Or is it a fraternity attraction? Or conjugal attraction? So depending on the flavor of attraction, your rasa, your mellow relationship with Krishna is decided. Right? So rasa, rati, sometimes both are used. So there are two types of that ratis. Right? One is Aishwarya Jnana Yukta Rati. Aishwarya Jnana, along with Aishwarya. There is a knowledge of Krishna's opulences. Second is pure Rati, Kevala Rati. Right? Kevala means there is no knowledge or bias towards his opulence. Even in front of such a great Kevala devotee, Krishna exhibits his full opulence. There is no transformation in the Rati of Krishna. Right? Lord Chaitanya gives these examples. When Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa and came in front of Devaki and Vasudev, they did not immediately come and embrace Krishna. Because they felt, hey, these are my sons are supreme personalities of Godhead. How can we embrace? We should offer obeisances. So there was a hesitation. On the other hand, when Yashoda saw these all universes within the mouth of Krishna, there is no transition. She was momentarily a bit shocked, but that only increased her Vatsalya affection than decreasing it. She thought Trayacha Upanishadbhishya Sankhya Yogaishya Sattvataihi Upagiyamana Mahatmyam Harim Sa Amanyata Atmajam. He is my son. That's all. She never thought that he is God. Although Krishna exhibited opulence. Right? So these are the differences. There also he quotes this verse. Kevala, difference between Kevala and Aishwarya Jnana Yukta. So one is Rukmini's example when Krishna was teasing Rukmini. Krishna was only teasing Rukmini. He said that, why did you marry me? Why didn't you marry Shishupal? Why didn't you marry so many other queens? You read the whole 60th chapter, right? Of 10th canto. So then Rukmini thought that Krishna may leave me. Krishna may leave me. Krishna may give me up. What will happen? And then she fainted. She lamented. She was shocked. On the other hand, Krishna said similar thing to gopis. Gopis, he said, why did you come all the way in the middle of the night? You left your husbands and brothers and sisters and children, parents. Why did you come to me in the middle of the night? You are not supposed to come. Krishna spoke some moral codes. They did not faint. They chastised Krishna. You are a cheater. Pati sutanvayat bhratrubandhavat ativilankhyate achyutagatah gati virastavo udgita mohitah kitava yoshitah kastyajannishi. So, we left everybody, as you said, and we came to you, and you are asking us to go away. Kitava, you are a cheater. What kind of cheating you are doing now? Right? They chastised Krishna and they stayed there only. They did not follow his order. Right? So that is the difference between Kevala and this Aishwarya Jnana. So there is a knowledge of opulence and there is influence of the opulence of Krishna. And here in Kevala Bhakti, there is just a denial of that opulence, even if they have seen that opulence. You may be whatever, but we love you. In this mood only. Our mood will not change. Our love will not change. So this is eternal. Not that this Aishwarya Jnana devotees will sometimes get into that mode. The Vatsalya affection of Yashoda and Nanda is pure, right? Not tinged with Aishwarya. And that is eternal. Eternally they are situated in that position, in that mood, in loving Krishna. And similarly, Vasudeva and Devaki are also eternally situated in their Aishwarya Vatsalya. And their difference between these two Vatsalyas is also eternal. It will never come down. Right? Their pure Vatsalya is eternal, their Aishwarya Vatsalya is eternal, and their difference is also eternal. So here Krishna is described as Raja Svajaya Bhata Shekari Tanghri Renuhu. So our Rukmini is describing Krishna as one at whose lotus feet the dust, who puts the dust of his feet on the heads of invincible warriors. Right? So at his lotus feet, at his dust, invincible warriors will come and put their head. Right? What is that verse? Anghri Saroja Peetham. Kirita Kotyedita Pada Peetham. Correct. Kirita Kotyedita Pada Peetham. Uddhava says, Uddhava, third canto, Uddhava tells Vidura, I think. So, Kirita Kotyedita Pada Peetham. All the helmets of great, great rulers and controllers of universe and other lands, they will come and offer obeisances to Krishna. They will put their head at his lotus feet. So such a person came and kidnapped me. How? There are a bunch of jackals there. And a lion will come and take its prey away and then just royally go away. Right? So lion will not hesitate. And lion will not come in big, big groups also. As a lion forcibly takes his prey from the midst of goats and sheep, not even jackals. In some other place, jackals are word used is used. May I always be allowed to worship the lotus feet of Krishna, the abode of Goddess Shri. Tat Shri Niketa Charanostu Mamarchanaya. So, Ninye Mrigendra Iva Bhagam Ivaji Yuthat. Just like Mrigendra. Mrigendra is king of all animals, that is lion. Iva Bhagam, whatever is supposed to be eaten by that lion, it will just royally come, regally will come and take it away. Like that Krishna just took it. And that Shri Niketa Charano, may I offer obeisances and worship the lotus feet of that Shri Niketan. So this one, the last line, the theme of the last line, where Rukmini is aspiring to worship Krishna's lotus feet in the mode of a servant, that is prevalent in all the devotees, all the rasas. Now you remember this chapter. This will be useful for you to understand the 6th chapter of Adilila. When Kaviraj Goswami explains the tattva of Advaitacharya, he quotes some of these verses, saying that this mood of being a servant of Krishna is like embraced, is aspired for by so many exalted devotees. Dasya Bhaktas are definitely in servitude mood, servant mood. So Dasya Bhakta, Vatsalya Bhakta, except Shanta Bhakta. Shanta is a Shant, no Seva. I love you, but I will not serve you. That is Shanta Bhakta's disposition. They love Krishna. So they have these two qualities. Krishna Nishtha means they are fixed up in their intelligence. Their intelligence is fixed upon Krishna. Krishna Kanishtha. And second is, they are not deviated by any material attractions. I'm not getting the Sanskrit for it. So anyways, so they, without any deviation, they are focused on Krishna. So these qualities are there in all the rasas. But in Shantarasa only this is there. They worship only Krishna, they will not worship anyone. But they love Krishna, they will not love anyone. But they don't do any practical service. That is Shanta Bhakta. But in all the other rasas, amongst all the devotees, this mood of being a servant of Krishna is very prevalent. Whether they are Dasya Bhaktas or Vatsalya Bhaktas or Madhurya Bhaktas or Sakya Bhaktas or incarnations or Guna Avataras, right? All the avataras are, and expansions of Krishna are also called Bhakta Avataras. They are servant incarnations. So like that you can read Adilila, 6th chapter. So some of these verses will be quoted there. Example of Shanta are these four Kumaras, Navayogendras. They're all, I mean, you can consider it service, but Lord Chaitanya considers them as Shanta Bhaktas. Vatsalya is also mentioned. That's not. Some say that animals are in Shanta, but they are in counted as Vatsalya also. There is active service there. And especially Krishna became their son in Brahma Mohan Lila. Yeah, this is point to be considered also. They are preaching. But there is no other practical. We need to explore it more. But Lord Chaitanya gives these examples in 19th chapter of Madhyalila. No, Satyabhama is saying, Sri Satyabhama Vacha Yome Sanabhivadha Tapta Hrida Tatena Lipta Bhishapam Apamarshtumupa Upa Jahara Jitvarksha Raja Matharag Nam adatatena Bhitaha pita dishatamam prabhavepi dattam. Read the translation.
Shri Satyabhama said, my father, his heart tormented by his brother's death, accused Krishna of killing him. To remove the stain of his reputation, the Lord defeated the king of the Veers and took back the Samantaka jewel, which he then returned to my father. Fearing the consequences of his offense, my father offered me to the Lord, even though I had already been promised to others.
So this whole Samantaka episode, you know. So in this context, the Acharyas are saying that it is perfectly proper to offer Krishna everything. Whatever one owns, we can offer everything to Krishna. So although Satrajit promised Satyabhama's hand to other people, still there are no morals or ethics or protocols there. Hey, you have been promised for someone else. When it comes to Krishna, even if I promised this object to someone else, I can give it to Krishna like that. So it is perfectly proper to offer him everything one owns, and improper to withhold anything for him. Now you, for example, you promise to give one burfi to Abhay Gaurang Prabhu, right? Your co-batchmate. So suddenly your counselor comes, or your senior devotee who guided you in Krishna consciousness just comes as a guest. Now you promised him that you have only one burfi that you will give him. Satra has also had only one daughter. Right? So if you give this burfi to your counselor instead of Abhay Gaurang Prabhu, is it justified? Is it proper? I promised him, I cannot give him. Because it's a higher obligation. And he would also not mind. Yes, Prabhu, chalega na? He also wouldn't mind. So what to speak of Krishna? So, one should not just impose all the external moral codes and principles when it comes to making an offering to Krishna. I told him that I will give this to him. No, for Krishna you can just break. But one has to do it with proper sensitivity, In the name of Yukta Vairagya, just quoting this principle, one cannot break certain ethics that are respected by outside world and create a greater damage. Oh, devotees means to go to the temple, to attend Mangalarti on time, they can break traffic signals. Right? They need not pay heed when the traffic constable is calling them. So that's a very immature way of applying this principle. But in the ultimate sense, we need to understand that our obligation to Krishna, our service to Krishna is beyond all other material obligations. That's the whole principle, which needs to be applied with great sensitivity and maturity, considering the time, place and circumstances. 10th verse. Sri Jambavati Vacha Prajnaya Deha Kritamum Nijana Athadaivam Sitapatim Trinavahan Yamunabhya Yudhyat Gnatva Parikshada Upaharadarhanam Mam Padau Pragrihya Manina Hamamushya Dasi.
Sri Jamvanti said, unaware that Lord Krishna was none other than his own master and worshipable deity, the husband of goddess Sita, my father fought with him for 27 days. When my father finally came to his senses and recognized the Lord, he took hold of his feet and presented him with both me and Samantaka jewel as a token of his reverence. I am simply the Lord's maid servant.
She is also saying, Padav pragrihya manina aham amushya dasi. Amushya dasi means I am his maid servant. Aham amushya dasi. So Jambavan could not recognize Krishna. He could not recognize that this Krishna is none other than my Lord Ram. Why? Because he had a desire earlier to fight with the Lord. So because of that desire, he could not recognize. And also Krishna had a desire to fight with someone, with a proper equal combat. So because of that each other's desire, 28 days passed away in fighting. After 28 days, Jambavan could recognize, oh, you are my Lord, Ram only. Otherwise no one can stand in front of me for 28 minutes. I am Jambavan. Not even 28 seconds. And you are so young, like a boy. So now, Jambavati is saying that I have been offered by my father to Krishna as a maidservant. So all of them have absolutely no sense of independence or separate identity other than their relationship with Krishna. In a cultured society, the wife would feel a sense of, a great, deep sense of obligation and dependence on her husband. She wouldn't imagine, she can't even imagine staying away or being independent of her husband's expectations. Right? And husband also had such a conduct in the civilized society, in the cultured society. But as Kali Yuga progresses, husbands cannot be up to the mark of what an ideal husband is supposed to be. Similarly, wives also cannot be so chaste to their husbands if the husbands are also not showing that such proper conduct. Right? So, in the cultured society, civilized society, a wife would feel shy and uncomfortable and feel it's disrespectful even to take the name of her husband. But in the modern society, wives may call their husbands with names. Right? So there's a contrast between yugas. Right? Shri Kalin Jivacha Tapascharantim Agnaya Svapada Sparshanashaya Sakhyopetya Grahit Panim Yoham tatgriha marjani. Grihamarjani. I am a sweeper in her house. That's what Lakshmi is doing in Vaikuntha. Shri Rupini Kvanayati Charanaravindam Leelam Bujena Harisadmani Mukta Doshah Sammarjativa Sphatika Kudya Upeta Himni. Sammarjativa means doing jhadu. Right? So they are just doing sweeping. That's what Lakshmi is doing. So sweeping cannot be considered any menial service if it is done for Krishna. Yeah, in the eyes of the world, sweeping is such a lowly service. But when you do it for Krishna, that's the highest service done by Goddess of Fortune, done by the Mahishi. Mahishis means queens. There are three types of energies of Krishna, apart from our marginal, internal, external, that potency. Né? So three types of Shaktis of Krishna, three types of consorts of Krishna, you can say. That's easy. So one is Lakshmi Gana, second is Mahishi Gana, third is Gopi Gana. Lakshmi Gana is the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. Mahishi Gana are the queens of Krishna in Dwaraka. Gopi Gana are the gopis in Vrindavan. Gopi Gana is the topmost. All these three are expansions of Srimati Radharani. Just like Krishna expands as Narayana in Vaikuntha and various other incarnations, Srimati Radharani also expands in various goddesses of fortune or queens to become the consorts of Krishna's expansions. Like that. So she is saying that I am sweeper in his palace. Kalindi. Kalindi said, I was performing severe austerities and penances with the hope of one day touching his lotus feet. So he came to me along with whom? Arjun. Along with Arjun. So then that's how Kalindi was married. She is the daughter of son. Right? Shri Mitravinda Uvacha Yomam Swayam Vara Upetya Vijitya Bhupan Ninyesva Yothagamivatma Balim Dviparaihi Bhratrumscha Me Prakurutaha Svapuram Shriyukta. Tasyastu menu bhavamangri avanejad natvam.
Sri Mitravinda said, at my Swayamvara ceremony, he came forward, defeated all the kings present, including my brother, who dared insult him, and took me away just as a lion removes his prey from amidst a pack of dogs. Thus Lord Krishna, the shelter of Goddess of Fortune, brought me to his capital city. May I be allowed to serve him by worshipping his feet life after life.
Tasyastu me anubhavam angri avanejanattvam. Avanejanattvam means the status of washing someone's feet. Angri avanejanattvam. And anubhavam, life after life, may I get this opportunity of just washing his feet. That is her mood, Kalindi, Mitravinda's mood. Although she is directly the wife of Krishna, one of the eight principal queens of Krishna still, she is thinking that, oh, I am just a servant. I am just meant and I only deserve to wash his feet, not to attain any privileged favors from him. So the hearts of all these queens were filled with gratitude and a recognition and appreciation for Krishna's position and their own position, which is way low compared to Krishna's position. That's how they conceived themselves. Right. Next, including Satyabhama. Satyabhama also says that. Right. I also become to remove the stain of reputation. Satyabhama is ninth. Okay. Okay, Satyabhama. Next, Satya is saying now. Sri Satya Vacha. Saptokshanoti balavirya sutikshna sringan. Pitrakritan kshipata virya parikshanaya. Tanvira durmada hanas tarasan nigrihya. Kridan babandha yatha shishavo jatokan. Yaittam virya shulkamam dasi bhishya duranginim pathi nirjitya rajanyan ninye taddasya mastume.
Sri Satya said, my father arranged for 7 extremely powerful and vigorous bulls with deadly sharp horns to test the prowess of the kings who desired my hand in marriage. Although these bulls destroyed the false pride of many heroes, Lord Krishna subdued them effortlessly, tying them up in the same way that the children playfully tie up a goat's kids. He thus purchased me with his valor. Then he took me away with my maidservants and full army of 4 divisions, defeating all the kings who opposed him along the road. May I be granted the privilege of serving that Lord.
So she is also saying that I want the privilege of serving that Lord. So Krishna subdued 7 bulls whose noses are not tied, not pierced. Right? When the nose of a bull is not pierced, it seems it's very difficult to control. Some of our bulls are like that. No? Huh? Some bulls are tied. No? All are. No? Papa Rao can control. Okay. Sri Bhadra Vacha. Pitame Matule Yaya. Swayam Ahuya Dattavan. Krishne Krishna Yatachittam. Akshauhinya Sakhijanaihi. Asyame Pada Samparsho. Bhaved janmani janmani karma bhir brahmyamanaya yena tat shreya atmanah.
Shri Bhadra said, my dear Draupadi, of his own will, free will, my father invited his nephew Krishna, to whom I had already dedicated my heart, and offered me to him as his bride. My father presented me to the Lord with an auctioneer military guard and a retinue of my female companions. My ultimate perfection is this, to always be allowed to touch the Lord Krishna's lotus feet as I wander from life to life, bound by my karma.
Karma bhir brahmyamanaya yena tat shreya atmanah. A devotee doesn't desire for release from this transmigration cycle. He doesn't mind going from one body to another body, not to enjoy sense gratification. As long as he gets an opportunity to serve Krishna, to hear about Krishna, this is an insignificant botheration for him. Right? So they also say, Yavatte Maya Sprishta Brahmama Eha Karma Bhihi Tavat Bhavat Prasanganam Sangasyano Bhave Bhave. Prachetas are saying this. We don't mind transmigrating according to our karma. Even he says, Nanda Maharaj says to Uddhava, right, because of our karma, we may go from one place to another place, but may we always be servants of Krishna. Our mood of servitude to Krishna may continue. Same thing here Bhadra is saying. Bhadra speaks not only for herself, but for all the living entities as well. The soul's perfection is devotional service, both in this world and beyond, and in liberation also.
So after getting liberated from this world, what we will do? We will go to the spiritual world and serve Krishna. That's what a devotee thinks. That's what Anantacharya thought. You know the story. Anantacharya was bitten by a snake and he was not taking medicine. And the Lord Balaji himself asked Anantacharya, why don't you take medicine? He says, there is no change in my service, in my profile. Right? If I die, I'll come to Vaikuntha and serve you. If I don't die, I'll stay in Tirupati and serve you. Service will not change. So,
next. 17th verse. Sri Lakshmano Vacha. Mama Api Rajan Yachuta Janma Karma. Mama Api Rajan Yachuta Janma Karma. Shritva Muhurnarada Gita Masaha. Chittam Mukunde Kilapadma Hastayam. Vritaha Susamrishya Vihaya Lokapan.
Sri Lakshmana said, O Queen, I repeatedly heard Narad Muni glorify the appearances and activities of Achyuta, and thus my heart also became attached to that Lord Mukunda. Indeed, even the goddess Padmahasta chose him as her husband after careful consideration, rejecting the great demigods who rule various planets.
Padmahasta is one who holds lotus in her hand. She chose him as her husband after careful consideration. So during Samudra Manthan, Lakshmi went to search for a husband, that is Swayamvar, Lakshmi Swayamvar. In that she was finding fault with all the personalities standing there. Oh, he has this good quality, but he has this defect, this defect, this defect. She looked at everyone. By the process of elimination, she ended up with Vishnu. And she couldn't find any fault in him. Then put her garland around him. Gnatva mama matam sadhvi. Pita duhitruvatsalaham. Brihatsena itikhyataham. Tatropayam achikarat.
My father, Brihatsena, was by nature compassionate to his daughter, and knowing how I felt, O saintly lady, he arranged to fulfill my desire.
Okay, she is continuing. Now, this Lakshmana, she speaks several verses in this chapter because her marriage, how Krishna married her, was not very much elaborated in the previous chapters. The previous marriage, like Satyabhama, then Jambavati, Rukmini, all this were already mentioned. It's like a recap only. So Sukadeva Goswami places that here. So, her father is Brihatsena. He is very compassionate. And he is Duhitruvatsalaha. Duhitruvatsalaha means one who is very affectionate to one's own daughter. Krishna is Bhratruvatsalaha, Bhrityavatsalaha. Next, Yathasvayamvare Ragni, Matsyaha Parthepsayakrataha, Ayam tu Bahir Achanno, Drishyate Sajalam Param.
Just as a fish was used as a target in your Swayamvara ceremony, O Queen, to assure that you would obtain Arjuna as
your... means like his Draupadi, she is speaking to Draupadi.
You would obtain Arjuna as your husband, so a fish was also used in my ceremony. In my case, however, it was concealed on all sides and only its reflection could be seen in the pot of water below.
So... This Matsya Yantra, that's what they say, right? The whole arrangement made to pierce a fish in the Swayamvara, that is arranged in both Lakshmana's Swayamvar also and Draupadi Swayamvar also. But in Lakshmana Swayamvar, it's much more complicated that even Arjuna could not pierce it. Right? Arjuna could pierce the fish in Draupadi Swayamvara because it's much milder challenge. Right? Other people could not manage that also. But although Arjuna is such a great bowman, so Lakshmana Swayamvara, that fish is like too much for him to, for any immortal to handle it. Therefore, only Krishna could strike the target. Shrutvaitat sarvato bhupam. Ayayur matpituhu puram. Sarvastra shastra tatvagnaha. Sopadhyayah sahasrachah.
Hearing of this, thousands of kings, expert in shooting arrows and in wielding other weapons, converged from all directions on my father's city, accompanied by their military teachers.
So many people came for the Swayamvara. Pitrasam pujitah sarve. Yathavīryam yathavayaham. Adadhu sashiram chapam. Vedhum parshadi madhyaham.
My father properly honored each king according to his strength and seniority. Then those whose mind were fixed on me took up the bow and arrow and one by one tried to pierce the target in the midst of the assembly.
22nd. Adaya vyasrujam kechit. Sajjam kartum anishvaraha. Akoshtam iyam samutskrushyam. Petur eke munahataha.
Some of them picked up the bow but could not string it, and so they threw it aside in frustration. Some managed to pull the bowstring towards the tip of the bow, only to have the bow spring back and knock them to the ground.
So, different ways of failures in lifting the bow and piercing the target. Sajjam kritva pare veera. Magadham bhashta chedipaha. Bhimo Duryodhana Karno. Navidam stadavasthitim.
A few heroes, namely Jarasan, Shishupal, Bhim, Duryodhan, Karna, and King of Ambashtha, succeeded in stringing the bow, but none of them could find the target.
Okay. They were strong physically, but physical strength may be useful in a club fight, but while handling bow and arrows, physical strength is not sufficient. Skill is also needed. So, 24th verse. Matsyabhasam jale vikshya. Jnatva chatadavasthitim. Partho yatto srujadbanam. Nachinat paspruse param.
Then Arjun looked at the reflection of the fish in the water and determined its position. When he carefully shot his arrow at it, however, he did not pierce the target but merely gazed at it.
So Arjuna was having skill, but his physical strength was not adequate to the task of shooting it with perfect accuracy. Like that Sridhar Swami says. Ragnyeshu nirvritteshu bhagnamaneshu manishu bhagavan dhanuradaya sajyam krutva thalilaya tasmin sandhaya vishikham matsyam viksha sakrit jale. चित्वेषु न पत्यत्तम् सूर्ये चाभिजिति स्थिते.
After all arrogant kings had given up, their pride broken, the Supreme Personality of Godhead picked up the bow, easily strung it, and then fixed his arrow upon it. As the sun stood in the constellation Abhijit, he looked at the fish in the water only once and then pierced it with the arrow, knocking it to the ground.
Only once. He did not have multiple attempts. No, only once he saw the fish and then did it. So, next, 27th verse. Dividindu bhayo nedur jaya shabda yatha bhuvi devascha kusuma saran mumuchur harsha vihvalah.
Kettle drum resounded in the sky, and on the earth people shouted jai jai. Overjoyed, the demigod showered flowers.
Tadrangamavisham aham kala nupurabhyam padbhyam pragrihya kanako jvalaratna malam nutnyani viya paridhaya cha kaushikagriye. Savrida hasavadana kavari dhritasra.
Just then I walked onto the ceremonial ground, ankle bells on my feet gently tinkling. I was wearing new garments of the finest silk tied with a belt, and I carried a brilliant necklace fashioned of gold and jewels. There was a shy smile on my face and a wreath of flowers in my hair.
So these are the ways in which the brides are nicely decorated, and in contrast with the modern ways of decoration and engagement and all that. Unniya vaktra murukun tala kundala twit gandasthalam shishiraha sakataksha mokshaihi ragnyo nirikshya paritaha shanakair murare amsenu rakta hridaya nidadhe swamalam.
I lifted my face, which was encircled by my abundant locks and effulgent form from the glow of my earrings reflected on my cheeks. Smiling coolly, I glanced about. Then, looking around at all the kings, I slowly placed the necklace on the shoulder of Murari, who had captured my heart.
Necklace. Mala is mentioned as necklace here. And some more of her physical beautiful attributes are described in this verse. And she placed the garland in Krishna's neck. Tavan mridanga pataha shankabhir yanakadaya dinedur natanartakyom nanrutur gayaka jagah evam vrite bhagavati mayeshe nrupayuthapah nasehire yajnaseni spardhanto hrishayaturah. So on this auspicious occasion, so many sounds of, say, conch shells, mridanga, pataha, bheri, anaka. So all these were sounded. So men and women began to dance. Ninedur nata nartakyo. Nata is a dancer. Nartaka, nartaki is a lady dancer. Women and men began to dance, and they started singing. And as this whole celebration of jubilation is going on, some kings became very envious of Krishna. They could not tolerate. Evam vrite bhagavati mayeshe nrupayuthapaha. So many people were there. Na sehire. They could not tolerate Yajnaseni. Yajnaseni means Draupadi. Because she was born not from a mother's womb. She was born from the sacrificial fire. She is called Yajnaseni. So, spardhanto hrutshayaturaha. Spardhrutshaya. Hrutshaya means their hearts were afflicted with lust. Right? Hrutshaya word is also coming when gopis were attracted to Krishna. Right? So, they started doing a fight. The contamination of lust led the kings to quarrel foolishly with the Lord, even after seeing His supreme power. Here, the supreme personality of Godhead and His eternal consort were coming together, and that was not a pleasing sight to demoniac kings. The greatest happiness of the eyes is to see the divine couple together, right? But they are unable to access that happiness because they were covered by ignorance, covered by envy, covered by lust, covered by illusion. So when the material coverings are completely just covering the soul, in spite of coming in contact with a great spiritually nourishing scene or an event, his senses are not awakened. Right? He cannot relish it because the coverings on him were so thick like that. These kings could not appreciate this fact. Mam tavadrathamaropya hayaratna chatushtayam sangyam udyam yasannaddha tasthav ajau chaturbhujaham.
The Lord then placed me on His chariot, drawn by four most excellent horses. Donning His armor and readying His bow saranga, He stood on the chariot, and there on the battleground He manifested His four arms.
So He manifested four arms. So Krishna manifests four arms occasionally. One during Ashwatthama's episode. Now also He manifested four arms. So with two of His arms, Krishna embraced His bride, and with the other two, He held His bow and arrows. In that episode, with two arms He was holding Bhima, controlling him. With two arms He was holding Draupadi, because they were in totally different opinions. Darukaschodayamasa Kanchanopaskaram Ratham Mishta Mishatam Bahu Bhujam Ragni Bhujam Ragni Murganam Murga Rad Ivam.
Daruka drew the Lord's gold-trimmed chariot as the kings looked on, O Queen, like small animals helplessly watching a lion.
So Daruka was driving the chariot. Kanchana upaskritam is having golden trimmings. So sometimes when the Lord is engaged in fight, His carriers or His drivers like Daruka or Garuda, they were so expert in just their maneuvering. Unless the driver is expert, the person who is sitting on the chariot cannot fight properly. Krishna is an expert charioteer, so Arjuna could manage the show nicely. So Daruka is one such great charioteer, and Garuda also takes the Lord Narayana wherever he wants. So sometimes they attack the charioteer also. So there should be a proper sync and cooperation between these two. Who is that? Shalya. not Shalva. Shalva is different. Amba. Amba's boyfriend is Shalva. So Shalya is Karana's charioteer. Shalya constantly discourages Karana. Right? That kind of charioteer he got. Not the person who cooperates and assists. Tenva sajjanta rajanyam. Nishedhum pathi kechana. Samyatta udruteshvasam. Grama simha yathaharim.
The king pursued the lord like village dogs chasing a lion. Some kings, raising their bows, stationed themselves on the road to stop him as he passed by.
Village dogs. And he is Grama Simha. Lion of the villages. That is dogs. Hari is lion. So lion chasing other lions. Tesangyachyuta Banoghaihi Krittabahvangrikandharaha Nipetuhu Pradhane Kechit Eke Santyajya Durdruva.
These warriors were deluded by the arrows shot from the Lord's bow Saranga. Some of the kings fell on the battlefield with severed arms, legs and necks. The rest gave up the fight and fled.
Tatahapurim yadupatir atyalankritam ravichadadhvajapata chitratoranam kushasthalim divibhuvi chabhi samstutam samavishattaranair ivasvaketanam.
The lord of the Yadus then entered his capital city, Kushasthali Dwarka.
So Dwarka was erected in that Kushasthali Dvipa island. The island in the midst of that ocean is called Kushasthali. And Dwarka fort is erected there. So sometimes these two names are used interchangeably.
Which is glorified in the heaven and on earth. The city was elaborately decorated with the flagpoles carrying the banners that blocked the sun, and also with splendid archways. As the Lord Krishna entered, he appeared like the sun god entering his abode.
Next. Pitame pujayamasam suhrut sambandhi bandhavan maharhavaso lankaraihi shayyasana parichadaihi.
My father honored his friends, family and in-laws with priceless clothing and jewelry and with royal beds, thrones and other furnishings.
So this is the technically called dowry, which is given with great happiness by the bride's father to the son-in-law. It's not a forcefully imposed protocol or like that should be negotiated. Only this much amount, then marriage will happen. Otherwise, no marriage will happen. So that's not a custom, but it's a tradition that's coming. Next. Dasi bhi sarva sampadbhir bhate bharatha vajibhi ayudhai maharhani dadho purnasya bhaktita.
With devotion, he presented the perfectly complete lord with a number of maidservants bedecked with the precious ornaments. Accompanying these maidservants were the guards walking on foot and others riding elephants, chariots and horses. He also gave the lord extremely valuable weapons.
The pure devotee makes offerings to the lord only out of love, bhakti bhi, with no expectation of material profit. So dasi bhi sarva sampad bhir. So he had sent dasis also, and lot of riches. Bhate bha ratha vajibhi. He had sent soldiers, chariots, and other elephants, etc.
Ayudhani, Maharhani, Dadau, Purnasya Bhakti Bhi. Purna is the Lord who is complete. Bhakti is devotional service. If he is already Purna, he is already complete, what is the point of making so many offerings? The point is Bhakti. With Bhakti, he presented. Next. Atma Ramasya Tasyema.
Atma Ramasya Tasyema.
Vayam Vai Grahadasika.
Vayam Vai Grahadasika.
Sarvasanga Nivrittadha.
Sarvasanga Nivrittadha.
Tapasacha Babhuvima.
Tapasacha Babhuvima.
Thus, by renouncing all the material association and practicing austere penances, we queens have all become personal maid servants of the self-satisfied Supreme Lord.
So Lakshmana became a bit embarrassed when she realized that she has been talking for such a long time about herself and her relationship with Krishna. So now she also spoke a verse praising her co-wives. What was the praise? Atma Ramasya Tasyema. He is Atma Rama. So Vayam Vai Grahadasikaha. He is already self-satisfied person. He doesn't need anything beyond himself for his satisfaction. But he has allowed us to become their grahadasis, household maid servants. We, means all of us. And that is the praise. Right? The privilege of getting an opportunity to sweep the floors of Krishna is a great reason for celebration. And people should praise it. So she included other queens also. That sarvasanga nivrityadhya tapasacha babhuvima. So by renouncing all material association and practicing austerities, we queens are all personal maid servants of Krishna. So since the Lord's queens were direct expansions of his internal pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti, they fully controlled him with their love. So Sutta Goswami says, Uddama Bhava Pishunamala Valguhasa Vrida Valoka Nihato Madanopiyasan Sammuhiya Chapa Majahat Pramadottamasa Yasyendriyam Vimathutum Kuhakair Nasekuhu. So all these queens could only control Krishna with their love and certainly not by their feminine attribute. So we will take break now.
पादाम्बुजं परिणीयनाय य आप्तकामः
रोहिणी देवी स्पीकिंग फॉर द अदर क्वींस सेड आफ्टर किलिंग भौमसुर एंड हिज फॉलोअर्स द लॉर्ड फाउंड अस इन द डीमन्स प्रिजन एंड कुड अंडरस्टैंड दैट वी वेर द डॉटर्स ऑफ द किंग्स हुम भौमा हैड डिफीटेड ड्यूरिंग हिज कॉन्क्वेस्ट ऑफ द अर्थ द लॉर्ड सेट अस फ्री. And because we had been constantly meditating upon his lotus feet, the source of liberation from the material entanglement, he agreed to marry us, though through his every desire is already fulfilled.
So, Bhaumam Nihatya Saganam Yudhi Tena Ruddha. Bhauma is this Narakasur, Bhaumasura demon. So, after killing this Bhaumasura, so Krishna accepted all these girls, princesses, who were being, who were in the captive of Narakasura. So, Nirmuchya Samsruti Vimokshanam. Krishna is described to be that person who can give vimochan, who can give liberation to people. And Anusmarantihi. All these ladies were remembering such great personality. So they were held in captive. They were in bondage because of Bhaumasura. And they were meditating on the person who had the ability to liberate them. Right? They will get liberation. So when we are in bondage, and if we want to get liberation from that bondage, we need to meditate and remember and depend on someone who has the ability to liberate people from bondage. This is a classical example. How to get liberated? Meditate. Remember, anusmarantihi. Anusmarantihi padambujam. Meditate on the lotus feet of that Lord who actually had the, who only, he is the only person who has the capacity to liberate. Right? Same thing happened with other kings who were held in captive by Jarasandha. You remember? So many kings were arrested by Jarasandha so that he can do some sacrifice to Bhairava. So Krishna went to Jarasandha along with this Bhima and Arjuna, and Bhima killed Jarasandha and Krishna released all these people, all these kings. So Krishna released kings, Krishna released these princesses, right? So all of them were depending on Krishna helplessly. Padambujam Parininaya ya apta kamaha. And he also married them. Some girl who is held in captive by another man cannot be accepted by someone else in a Vedic society, civilized society. But Krishna did it. Right? Because we had been constantly meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of liberation from material entanglement, he agreed to marry us. So it's not a easy thing. So Rohini was representing the 16,100 queens, and she spoke this. So people may blame that Krishna stole the garments of gopis, or he did Rasleela with other men's wives. But why can't they see this? These girls are practically rejected from the society. That's their position if they come out of Bhaumasura's captive. Right? They were kidnapped. They were forcefully taken away. But Krishna gave them life. Not just showing some pity on them. He gave them all comforts that other queens also had. He gave them separate palaces. Right? He gave them time. Right? So he also gave them 10 sons each, one daughter each. Right? All facilities that Rukmini and other people had, these people also had, these queens also had. Navayam sadhi samrajyam, swarajyam bhojyam apyuta, vairajyam parameshtyam cha, anantyam vahare padam, kamaya maha etasyam, Srimatpadarajah Shriyaha Kuchakunkumagandhadhyam Murdhanavodhum Gadabhrataha. Now Rohini and other queens, they offer a beautiful prayer to Krishna. Navayam Sadhvi Samrajyam. Oh Sadhvi, oh saintly lady, who is this? Draupadi. This is Samrajyam. We don't want rulership over earth. That is called Samrajya. So in the purport they are mentioned, Samrajya is for the east, Bhaujya, south, Swarajya, west, Vairajya, north. So in such great Vedic chants, these are mentioned. Samrajyam, Swarajyam, Bhaujyam Apyuta, Vairajyam, Parameshtyam cha. Parameshtyam is the position of Brahma. Right? Anantyam va Harir Padam. Anantyam means immortality. Ananta. There is no end. That is anantyam. That is immortality. Right? So we don't want all this. All we want is the service to the lotus feet of the Lord. So we have absolutely no desire for dominion over earth or sovereignty over heaven or unlimited facility for enjoyment, mystic power, position of Brahma, immortality, or even spiritual world also we don't want. Right, Hare Padam, that also we don't want. But Kamayamaha Etasya Srimat Pada Padarajaha Shriyaha. So what do we want? We simply desire to carry on our heads the dust of Krishna's feet. Padarajaha. They are not interested in Hare Padam, but they are interested in Hare Padam. Padarajaha. Pada is a position. Pada is lotus feet. We want to stay at the feet. So we need to understand what is a better aspiration, Pada or Pada. So we enter to take shelter of the Pada of Krishna but we are carried away by padas. Pada is positions, designations, privileges, posts, right? Name, fame, prestige. So morning only I was just going through one quote. There is one light that can perpetually keep you in darkness. That is limelight. When you are in pada, when you are in a great position, then there is a lot of limelight. So many people are attracted to you. So when we are entrapped by that position, then that itself is darkness. It seems I am in limelight, but you are in whatever called quote-unquote darkness. So they are rejecting Samrajyam, Swarajyam, Bhaujyam, Vairajyam, Parameshtyam, Anantam, Hareh Padam. All these are worth rejecting. Only Srimat Pada Rajah Shriyah Kuchakunkuma Gandhadyam. So enriched by the fragrance of Kunkuma from his consort's bosom, like that. Murdhana Vodham Gadabhrataha. We want to keep that dust on our heads. So here Srimat Pada. Srimat is divine. And Shriyaha. Srimat Pradarajaha Shriyaha. Shriya is goddess of fortune. Shriyaha Kucha Kumkuma. So the Shri or the goddess of fortune mentioned here is not Lakshmi. Lakshmi is concept of Narayana, not concept of Krishna. So after all, Acharya explains goddess Lakshmi could not attain such special favor. What is that verse? Yate Sujata Nalina. That verse comes right. Yate Sujata Charana Muruham Staneshu. Yate, you read, open. Charanam Bhuja Staneshu. Like that one verse comes. Yate Sujata Charanam Guruham Staneshu. There is an Uddhava, I think. Maybe somewhere. Karkashe. Is it? Yeah, open it. So basically, we are trying to refer that verse to mention that this kind of privilege is not available for Lakshmi. It's available only for the gopis. You got the point? Got the verse? That one. Karkaseshu. Read the translation also.
Oh dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breast, fearing that your lotus feet will be hurt. Our lives rest only in you. Our minds therefore are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about in the forest path.
So this is the mood of the gopis. So they want to keep Krishna's lotus feet on the softest part of their body, and they still feel that, oh, your tender lotus feet must be hurt. And just by thinking that you are walking barefoot in the forest of Vrindavan, so we are unable to stay peacefully, right? But in other places, Krishna walks with slippers. Where is the question of this, right? This whole discussion. And this kind of privilege in the such special intimate exchanges would not happen with goddess of fortune and other consorts of Krishna. They happen only with gopis. So why these queens headed by Rohini were remembering this? Right? They are describing Srimat Pada Rajaha Shriyaha Kucha Kunkuma Gandhadhyam. Kucha Kunkuma Gandhadhyam. The lotus feet is just smeared by the kumkum from the bodies of the gopis, right? These queens of Krishna, 16,100 queens of Krishna, headed by Rohini, they were meditating on Krishna's sweet interactions with the gopis. not even with Mahishis, not even with Lakshmis. As I said, amongst the Gopi Gana, Lakshmi Gana, Mahishi Gana, Gopi Gana is at topmost. So they are remembering Krishna in association with Gopi Gana, not Mahishi Gana or Lakshmi Gana. So we need to understand. And the topmost Gopi is Srimati Radharani, that verse also comes here. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kantihi Sammohini Para. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Krishna. She is the central figure for all goddesses of fortune. As I said, all these Gopi Gana, Lakshmi Gana, Mahishi Gana are expansions of Srimati Radharani only. So these people are discussing, are mentioning the relationship of Krishna with the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. So why are they doing so? They are more advanced than the eight principal queens. This is a less known fact. Someone who has appreciation for Vrindavan, he is the topmost devotee than anyone else. He may appreciate Vaikuntha mood, he may appreciate Narayana mood, Aishwarya Bhava, but someone who adores and worships the mood of Vrindavan is the topmost devotee. Right? Now they are saying about Vrajastriyas. Vrajastriyo yadvanchanti Pulindas Trunavirudha Gavascharayato Gopaha Padasparsham Mahatmanaha. We desire the same contact with the Supreme Lord's feet that the young women of Vraja, the cowherd boys, and even aborigine Pulinda women desire. Vrajastriyo yad vanchanti. Vanchanti means desiring. Who are desiring? Vrajastris, the gopis. Pulindyaha, the aborigine women. Tadvirudhaha. Tadvirudhaha means and all the other plants and grasses and gavaha, cows. Right? So the touch of the dust that he leaves on the plants and grass as he tends cows, that same touch we are aspiring for. So Krishna is walking barefoot on the grasses of Vrindavan, plants and herbs and small twigs of Vrindavan. So gopis are desiring that touch. Right? So this touch is not easily accessible by anyone, even by the great queens of Dwaraka, because they can't think in those lines. They don't think in those lines, right? They are in the mood of majesty and opulence. They are saying we are servants of lotus feet of Krishna, but here, according to these verses, so this is much rarer privilege. Right? So, Chakvartipal writes a brilliant comment here. There is a jealous rivalry that existed between gopis, Gopi Gana and Mahishi Gana. Means queens and gopis. Krishna's queens in Dwaraka and gopis in Vrindavan, there is a kind of rivalry. And this rivalry should not be taken as envy on a material plane. Whenever you say rivalry, it's not like hero-villain having some fight. So this is a totally different transcendental thing. Because as I said, the Madhurya Rasa of the gopis and the Madhurya Rasa of the Dwaraka queens, they are of different flavors. One is Kevala, one is Aishwarya Jnana Yukta. So this is eternal and this is also eternal, and the difference between these two are also eternal. It's also eternal. Right? So eternally, some devotees are in Aishwarya mood. Eternally, some devotees are in, Kevala mood. Right? Pure Bhava is there. So Krishna has his, and ultimately, these are all Radharani's expansions, right? Some expansions are having the mood of pure conjugal love. Some expansions are having the mood of conjugal love tinged with some Aishwarya and some Dasya, right? So eternally they are like that. They are made like that. So that is the difference between them. So there is a rivalry between these two parties. The gopis considered the sophisticated women of Dwaraka the most serious threat to their hold on Krishna. Krishna just went there and then he developed a relationship with all the queens of Dwaraka and he doesn't look at us, right? He doesn't come. That's what their frustration they expressed in front of Uddhava, right? In Bhramar Gita episode, We discussed it very elaborately. Like that. They think like that. And the queens, they think that Krishna is remembering them only. All the while he is sitting in Dwaraka. Right? There is a constant rivalry going on. Right? And these eight principal queens, they consider themselves more fortunate because their relationship with Krishna is more intimate and more popular, and they are more in the closer circles apparently. Right? But within, deep within the hearts, Krishna is associating with the gopis of Vrindavan. We don't know. Someone must be hanging around with a popular person for longer time, more time. But we are not sure whether that person is most intimate to him. Within the heart of that big person, someone else may be there. So they did not especially desire to see him as he is in Vrindavan. See, the queens of Vrindavan, they did not very specifically desire to see Krishna in Vrindavan. The queens of Dwarka. So, but the 16,000 queens, 16,100 queens, who are considered little lesser queens than these eight principal queens. Getting right? Amongst the queens also, the eight are more popular, more royal. Right? They are considered, they are principal queens. And 16,100, Krishna just married them along with killing Bhaumasura. Now, eight marriages happened on eight different occasions. Eight different pastimes are there. But there is only one pastime for 16,100 queens. Getting right? So how much prominence is there? So each of these eight queens had their own story to share. But 16,108 queens, they have only one story to share. And that too, a demon is involved there. He killed the demon and married us. That's all. Oh yeah, story. They did not have any private, personal story, special story. Because of that, they are more humble. They think that they are more devoted to Krishna, more grateful to Krishna. They don't think that, oh, we are more close to Krishna. No, they are more close to Krishna and we are little less. Right? So there is also a great opportunity by not coming so close to the Lord. That is, what is that opportunity? To become humble. Right? Coming so close to the Lord, so close to the deity, so close to the Guru, so close to senior people or managers, vagara vagara. That also has a different kind of flavor. If one is not careful, a feeling of pride may enter him. A feeling of ridiculing other people may enter in him. We discussed this concept elaborately when we were discussing the washerman episode. Right? So the closer we are, the greater responsibility and risk we have. Not to compromise on our humility. But the 16,000 lesser queens, see, lesser queens, after hearing Uddhava describe Srimati Radharani's super excellent qualities, became attracted to touch the dust that falls from Krishna's feet onto the grass and plants of Vrindavan. Same is the aspiration of Uddhava. Asam aho charana renu jusham ahamsyam Vrindavane kimapi gulma latoshadhinam. Right? Chakravarti Pada indicates that some commentators give this as a reason why after Maushalya Lila, Krishna expanded himself into 16,100 and kidnapped all the 16,100 queens in the form of cowherd boys, and Arjuna could not save them. Right? So this is the difference between the eight principal queens and 16,100 lesser queens, quote unquote. But these lesser queens are higher queens because they are more closer to gopis. They have more appreciation for gopis. They desire to see Krishna as he presents himself in Vrindavan. That is their desire. But the eight principal queens, they specifically do not desire like that. Because we have our relationship with Krishna. So we are okay with this relationship. Krishna relishes being in Vrindavan more, that's fine. But we relish Krishna being with us like this, like that. That is their mood. Okay. Any questions or comments before we go to the next chapter? Next.
Rukmini also appreciates
See, there are some specific incidents or some specific events where they also appreciate, because they all sit with Mother Rohini, Balram's Mother Rohini, and then sit all, hear all Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. That's there. But in general, the 16,100 queens have more inclination towards Vrindavan than these eight principal queens, in general. Next. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Shritva Pritha Sulabha Purtyatha Yajnasini.
Shritva Pritha Sulabha Purtyatha
Madhyat Madhavyata Kshiti Patnya Utasva Gopyaha Krishne Khilatmani Harau Pranayanubandham Sarva Vishishmuralam Ashruku Kulakulasya.
Shukdev Goswami said, Pratha, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, the wives of other kings, and the Lord's cowherd girlfriends were all amazed to hear of the Queen's deep love for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, and the soul of all beings, and their eyes filled with tears.
So Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, and many other ladies, and even the gopis, so they all heard this, the Queen's deep love for Krishna, and their eyes were filled with tears. However, very significantly, Acharyas point out that Draupadi was the chief hearer of all these narrations. In the presence of Kunti and Gandhari, who were her own elders, Draupadi would not have very frankly inquired from all these queens. Oh, how did you associate with Krishna? How did you come in contact with Krishna? Tell me about your marriage story, love story, and all this. So they are all of similar age. They can speak amongst themselves, but they cannot speak so freely in front of elders like Gandhari. Gandhari is elder to Draupadi. She is at the stage of her mother-in-law. Right? So they could not have done it. So all these Gandhari and other elder people, they were like kind of secondary hearers. And gopis also were there, and they also were impressed with the queen's devotion to Krishna. That's what is mentioned by Sukadeva Goswami. However, the gopis shedding tears is not specifically because of their attraction towards the queen's devotion for Krishna. Because in the heart of their hearts, they have their own flavor of appreciating Krishna in Vrindavan mood. Right? How can they appreciate the Dwaraka mood of queen's love for Krishna? So as I said, there is a rivalry. Internally, the gopis were thinking that they have taken Krishna. Krishna was associating with us for one decade, and one century they are associating, Krishna is associating with these queens. Uduk hai andar. Right? So that pain is there, pain of separation from Krishna is there. So because of that, they are mainly crying and shedding tears, not because they are impressed with the devotion of the Dwaraka queens. And not that this is a material rivalry between the queens and gopis. Again, as I said, because both of them were absorbed in their own ecstatic love for Krishna, in their own moods. So the gopis were genuinely attracted to Krishna in Vrindavan, and remembering those beautiful exchanges that Krishna had with them in Vrindavan, they were shedding tears. Right? Their love for Krishna is more prominent than their lack of appreciation for Dwaraka mood. Getting right? You can't highlight this Dwaraka lack of appreciation for Dwaraka mood and Queen's mood as the primary reason. Internally, they were absorbed in Krishna, that's why they were shedding tears. Same with the queens of Dwaraka also. The queens of Dwaraka, they were appreciating their own mood of loving Krishna. They were appreciating Krishna and the way Krishna presents himself in Dwaraka as a majestic prince. Right? solving all managerial problems, political problems, fighting with people, and fighting with Krishna, fights with Sridhama, Sudama in Vrindavan. And he kills some demons, that is a 5 minutes fight. But here, in Dwaraka, Krishna fights with so many hundreds and thousands of kings and kills them in front of his queens only. Right? So most of the demons were killed by Krishna in front of the Gopas. And very few were killed in front of the Gopis, like Arishtasura and others. Most of the demon killing pastimes were witnessed by Gopas. Right? So Gopis have their own mood of appreciating Krishna. They don't appreciate Krishna so much in the demon killing mood and fighting mood. They appreciate the sweetness of Krishna. Right? So these are the like finer nuances of the love and affection of different devotees, of different rasas, of different moods. Right? All are glorious. But if you make an unbiased comparison between all these devotees and all their moods, the love of the gopis for Krishna in their mood of conjugal rasa stands the epitome, as the epitome of love for Krishna, Krishna prem. Everybody has Krishna prem only. But the Krishna prem, the prem of gopis for Krishna in Vrindavan is the topmost flavor of prem, topmost love. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadhu vargena vakalpita. This is the acknowledgement given by Lord Chaitanya. The topmost worship of Krishna and love for Krishna is actually done by the gopis. Right? They are superior even to the Vatsalya devotees like Yashoda and Nanda. They are superior to even the Sakya devotees like Sridhama, Sudama and others. And amongst these devotees of Vatsalya of different flavors, Nanda and Yashoda are topmost, and other Vasudeva, Devaki, they are lesser. Arjuna, Bhima, they are also Sakya Bhaktas of Krishna, but they are of lesser category than Sridhama, Sudama. Because the Sakya people, they have a feeling of friendship with Krishna. We are equals to Krishna. That's their mood. But sometimes Bhima and Arjuna, although they think that they are equal to Krishna, sometimes they may get into reverential mood. They feel like Krishna is superior to us. They think that they are equal to Krishna, but sometimes they are overwhelmed with this feeling that Krishna is superior to us. Right? So Arjuna apologizes to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Right? I called you like, oh my dear friend, I joked with you, I was sarcastically speaking to you. So I'm sorry, sorry for that. Sridhama, Sridhama, they don't ever say sorry. Oh, sorry. Like that. So, 1 minute, we'll complete this. Draupadi would have, this we have seen. We should remember, of course, that there is always perfect harmony on the spiritual platform. Apparent conflict between pure devotees is nothing like mundane envy or strife. The jealousy of the gopis was more show than substance, being exhibited by them as an ecstatic symptom of their overflowing love for Krishna. This we discussed, right? Okay. And Svagopyaha, as implying that gopis were the queen's original prototype. Gopis were Swarupa. So Swarupa, the original prototypes of whom? The queens were specific expansions. So gopis were the original concepts of Krishna, especially Srimati Radharani. And all these queens were just expansions of those gopis. Okay, next. Someone has a question.
The episode, I mean, I have just one question wherein, you know, you mentioned that the Lord, like Subhadra, was guarding the door and everyone were discussing Krishna's pastime. And that Rath Yatra was a pastime, na, ki there's Lord's hands synced inside. And so that episode, when we try to fit in into the episodes of the Bhagavatam, where it fits in, or like, is there any mention somewhere? Like,
fitting in,
I mean, here the pastime of the Kurukshetra, wherein the different queens are discussing about Krishna and the discussion is going on. So is that pastime
that happened in Dwaraka, not Kurukshetra. Rohini was narrating all Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes to the queens of Dwaraka, That happened in Dwaraka only. That's what, right? That's what we hear. And hearing those pastimes, more than the queens, Krishna went into ecstasy.
Okay.
Balram went into ecstasy. Being in the midst of both of them, Subhadra went into ecstasy. Right? Okay. So, queens are definitely ecstatic, but the ecstasy of these three is more. Jalagan, Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra. And seeing that, Narada became ecstatic. Right. That happened in Dwaraka.
Next. Iti sambhashamanasu stribhi strishu nribhir nishu ayayur munayas tatra krishna rama didrikshaya dvaipayano naradascha chavano devalositaha vishvamitraha shatanando Bharadvajotha Gautamah Ramaha Sasishyo Bhagavan Vasishtho Galavo Bhrugu Pulastyaha Kashyapo Trishcha Markandeyo Bruhaspatihi Dvitastritaschikatascha Brahmaputraha Tathangiraha Agastyo Yajnavalkyascha Vamadeva Dayopare.
Here Sukadeva Goswami continues. Iti sambhashamanasu. This kind of sambhashan. Sambhashan means conversation, discussion. So that was happening between stribhihi strishu nribhir nrishu. Right? All the women were discussing amongst themselves and men were discussing amongst themselves. Right? So they were discussing like that. And as they were, the discussions were going on, so many sages arrived there. Why did they arrive? They were so eager to see Krishna and Balaram. So who are all came? Who all arrived there? That's mentioned in three verses. Dvaipayana means Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Narada, Chavana, Devala, Asita, Vishwamitra, Shatananda, Bharadvaja, Gautama, Parashuram, and his disciples, Vasishta, Galava, Bhrugu, Pulastya, Kashyapa, Atri, Markandeya, Brihaspati, Dvita, Trita, Ekatra, Kumaras, Angira, Agastya, Ignavalkya, and Vamadeva. All these great sages arrived there. Tandrishtva sahasottayam, Pragasina, Nrupadayaham, Pandavaha Krishna Ramaucham Pranemur Vishwavanditan Tan Drishtva Sahasottaya. So as soon as all the sages arrived there, the kings and other people, they immediately got up. Sahasa Uttaya Prag Asina Nrupadayaha. Kings and other people, they just got up immediately to respect them. So it is the manners and etiquette and culture to get up when a senior person comes there, when a brahmana comes there. Right? You can't just sit like this and then speak. Prabhu, bolo. You should immediately get up and then acknowledge their presence. Right? So that is the culture. That is the tradition. Pragasina rupadeha pandavaha krishna ramaucha. When Sudama came, Krishna got up from his seat. When Vishwamitra came, Dasarath got up from his seat. When Brihaspati came, Indra did not get up from his seat. Kya hua uska? Right? He lost everything. So, it's an etiquette to be followed. Right? When Balaramji came, Romaharshan Sudha did not get up from his seat. So, we have positive examples also, negative examples also. Pandavaha Krishna Ramaucha Pranemur Vishwavanditan. Pandava brothers and Krishna and Balaram. So they all then bowed down to the sages who were honored throughout the universe. So even Krishna and Balaram also showed up. Why the sages came? To see Krishna and Balaram, who are the lords, supreme lords. But Krishna and Balaram also stood up, seeing the sages. Because apparently in this Leela, Krishna and Balaram were presenting themselves as princes, Kshatriyas. And a Brahmana is superior to Kshatriya. So a Kshatriya has to bow down in front of a Brahman. तान अनर्चुर यथा सर्वे सह रामोच्युतोर्चयत् स्वागतासन पादार्घ्य माल्यधूपानुलेपनैः. Then Krishna and Balram and other kings and the leaders, all of them worshipped the sages. How? Tan anarchur yatha sarve saharamo achyuto archayat. All of them were worshipping, including Krishna and Balram. So swagata, first idam swagatam. Next, asana, idam asanam. Padyam, argyam, malya, dhupa, anulepa, means this sandalwood paste, incense. So these are the various traditional offerings that we do. Right. During Abhishek also we do. We invite the deities. Asanam, Argyam, Padyam. All this. So, Uvacha Sukham Asinan Bhagavan Dharmagubdhanuhu Sadasastasya Mahato Yata Vacho Anusrunvataha. So, the sages were worshipped like that and they comfortably sat and the Lord, Supreme Lord Krishna. So, Uvacha, he started speaking. Sukham Asinan Bhagavan Dharmaguptanuhu. Dharmagup means the means of protection, protecting Dharma. Dharmaguptanuhu means Krishna's body and Krishna's appearance is mainly for protecting the religious principles. So he started speaking. Sadasas tasya mahato yata vacho anusrunvataha. He started speaking while so many assembly members heard him with rapt attention. He started addressing. After worshipping, he started addressing. So, the next few verses are the glorification of brahmanas and sages and devotees, which is personally done by Krishna. This constitutes a very important section of the 10th canto. The next 5-6 verses, they are not ordinary. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Right, very deep message is given. Same concepts, whatever we have heard so far, but it's repeated directly from Krishna's mouth. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Aho vayam janma bhruto,
janma bhruto.
Labdham
kartsnyena
tatphalam.
Devanam api dushparam.
Dushprapam.
Yad-yogeshwara-darshanam.
Yad-yogeshwara-darshanam.
Aho, aho, vayam, janma-bhruto. Janma-bhruto means one who has taken birth. Labdham kartsnyena tatphalam. So for someone who has taken birth, with great difficulty he will achieve tatphalam, the result of such birth. So, once birth will become successful, very rarely, and what is that rare privilege that will make one birth successful? The darshan of devotees. And devanam api dushprapam, this darshan of great devotees is very rarely attainable by devas, even great demigods also. Yad yogeshwara darshanam, yogeshwara, the devotees are described to be yogeshwara here. So Krishna first describes the rarity of sadhu darshan. Right? How rare it is to have the darshan of sadhus. So have a spiritual master, right? And to be able to see a spiritual master and meet him and see him is such a rare privilege. And what is that verse? Aho vayam dhanyataman rupanam. Darshana, one beautiful verse comes, right? Kim punar darshana sparsha pada sauchasana adibhi. Parikshit tells Sukadeva Goswami. Just by sannidhyate mahayogi. You can open. See, we forgot everything. Tenth canto. So, just the association of devotees is so purifying. 1.18 or 19. You see, kim punar darshan sparsha pada sauchasana adibhi. That is the third and fourth line. Esham samsmaranat pumsaha sadhyaha sudhyanti vaigraha. Sadhyaha Sudhyanti Vaigraha means just by coming in contact with great devotees, one's family and one's whole existence is purified. Right? Just by remembering. Yesam sam smaranat pumsaha. Just by remembering sadhus, one's existence, one's house, one's whole thing is purified. Kim punar darshan sparsha. What to speak of darshan, seeing them, sparsha, touching them. Pada shauchasanadibhi. What to speak of the privilege of washing their lotus feet? If remembrance has such purifying effect, what to speak of darshan and washing their feet and touching them? So same thing Krishna is saying. So tomorrow I think we will have some thematic assignments. Hardly anything to study and memorize. Now you quote this verse in tomorrow's exam and quote all the relevant verses from Bhagavatam you have studied so far. Means not full verses. At least the beginning, the concepts, the numbers. What are other verses? Thematic compilations, okay? Your answer script should be a thematic compilation. Not open book. You open book and prepare, and close book and write exam tomorrow. Okay? Despite the great privileges, what is the theme you got? Na? Rarity of sadhu darshan. Rarity of coming in contact with a devotee. So whatever verses you have studied in the first 9 cantos and 10 cantos under this theme, Durapahi Alpatavasa. Any consultancy you want, ask Amit Patel. Despite the great privileges the demigods enjoy as administrators of the universe, they rarely see such sages. Narada Muni is described as Deva Darshanaha. Right, Devadarshan, somewhere in Vyomasur episode it comes, 10.37 or 36. You go there and then get that point. Yeah, rarity. Kimsvalpatapasam drinam archayam devachakshusham darshana sparshana prashnam Prahvapada Archanadikam. Kim Svalpatapasam Runam. This is similar to Durapahi Alpatapasa. So Alpatapasa or Svalpatapasa means meager austerity. That doesn't mean austerity is a qualification to achieve the contact of a devotee. It's a conventional way of saying it. You should not take it literally. To come in contact with a Vaishnava, we should do a lot of austerity, tapasya. So much fire around us while we are sitting on one leg, standing on one leg in summer. So that's not the meaning. Kim svalpa tapasam drinam archayam devachakshusham. How is that people who are not very austere and who recognize God only as his deity can now see you, touch you? Enquire from you, darshana, sparshana, prashna. So darshan is not darshan. And next, sparshan of the lotus feet and prashna. Prashna is enquiring from them. Prahva padarchanadikam. So, bow down to you, worship your feet and serve you in other ways. Right? So, service to the Lord, service to the devotees is so rare. You can give me Chakvatipas. 10th verse. 84. Chakravarti says, verse 8 mentioned Krishna as the protector of religion. Dharma Guptanuhu. Remember? Beginning with verse 9, Krishna's words illustrate his upholding of dharma by praising the sages as if he were an ordinary human. So Krishna is praising the glory of the sages so much. Now, Krishna's position is way superior to all the sages and brahmanas. But why is he doing it? It has connection with the word that Sukadeva Goswami used in verse number 8. Dharma Gupta Nuhu. He is the person who establishes and protects religious principles. One way of protecting religious principles is worshipping brahmanas, respecting the sages. And in the form of a human being, Krishna is worshipping the sages and praising the sages. That means he is protecting dharma. Right? Krishna said, for men of little intelligence who see God only in the deity form and not in you saintly persons, it is your mercy alone that they get the opportunity to see you. Because many people, many so-called religious people, they have great taste for darshans, going to holy places of pilgrimage, taking holy bath. If we just lit lamp in our home in front of a deity photo, that's great. That is very glorious. They have such sentiments, fine sentiments, it's good. But they don't give their such importance or even 1% of such importance to hearing from a sadhu. Come, I'll speak Bhagavatam. They're not interested. We'll go to temple, take darshan. Yeah, we are excited. Right? Hearing, I'll speak Prahalad's story. I already know this. I'll speak Dromara's story. I already know this. You already know. If I already know, why should I hear from him? That is their point. Because just by staying in India, right, and that too, if you take birth in a like simple cultured family or just quote-unquote Hindu family, you get to know all these pastimes. Most of them, at least. Ramayana, sabko pata hai. Why should we hear? So hearing goes in the background. They have no inclination to hearing from a sadhu, but they have a lot of interest in taking darshans, taking baths, doing rituals and performing yajna yagas and calling pujaris, and then they chant such elaborate mantras. Pujari doesn't know the meaning and these people also don't know the meaning. But they are satisfied and nourished, thinking that we have conducted a sacrifice and we will get pious credits and we will get all material benefits. So this is the flavor of religion in many sections of population in India, especially. Right? I can say for South India at least. I don't know much about North India. So this has been religion. Hearing from a sadhu is never there. At least for first 2 decades of my life, I have been around in those circles only. And I have seen hundreds of temples. Right? Went to so many pujas and vratas and all this. But I never heard Krishna katha from a sadhu. Right, 2 decades passed till I came to ISKCON and then sat in a class. Bhagavatam class, we were just hearing. So this hearing Krishna Katha is not a very exciting proposal for people who are having such deep karmakandic inclinations. And we give that most important prominence. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnoha Smaranam Pada Sevanam. First thing is you should hear. Prabhupada told. Prabhupada made Sravanam more popular than even Archanam. Right? So, first it all begins with Shravanam. Next. Nahyami mayani mayani tirthani Nahyam mayani tirthani Nadeva mruchila mayaha Tepunantiru kalena Darshanadeva sadhava Nahi ammayani tirthani. So Krishna is very clearly saying, some of these verses are very revealing. If we read these couple of verses, na, we don't become so sentimental. One verse in 5th canto, prayers of the residents of Jambudvipa, Mother Lakshmi offers prayer to Kamadev. Remember in Ketumala Varsha? There she says, I do not favor those who worship me, neglecting you. She tells Narayana, Lakshmi tells Narayana, my devotees, I don't show any favor to my devotees. Right? If they neglect you and worship me, I don't show any favor. Direct words from Lakshmi are coming. And people don't give any importance to that verse. They keep Lakshmi's photo. There is no Narayana. And coins are coming from right hand, left hand. And they put 4 hands and 8 hands also for Lakshmi. And then from all hands, coins will come. And then 2 big elephants or 4 big elephants, coins will come. Gold coins. And big, big vessels. Atna top bharke. There is a lot of gold coins everywhere. And there is no Narayana in the photo, in the painting. Prabhupada very clearly says that when someone is blessed with material opulence, it's not a mercy of goddess of fortune, it's the mercy of Durga. So internal potency will not bless you when you neglect Krishna. Only external potency will bless you when you neglect Krishna. That is Durga. So that is one. And here what Krishna is saying, see, mere bodies of water, that means all the holy rivers like Ganga, Kaveri, Narmada, Godavari, Krishna, all this. Mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage, nor are mere images of earth and stone the true worshipable deities. These purify one only after a long time, but saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. Darshane pavitra kore eto maragun. Right, nahyam mayani tirthani na deva mrutshilamayaha. Tirthas, all these holy rivers, deva, demigods, shilamayaha, all these deities, te punanti urukalena, for long time you come in contact with them, you get some kind of purification. What other verse you remember? First chapter only. Apanna samshritim ghoram yannama vivasho grinan. This one, no. That is about holy name, about the deities, about the rivers. The purifying effect of a devotee is more than the purifying effect of a holy river. That is also there. That devotees themselves are holy places personified. Yat pada samshraya suta mano. Correct. Svadya punanti vasrishta svardhanya ponu sevaya. Correct. This is comparison between holy river and holy men. And that verse is Vidura's glorification by Yudhishthir. That is, holy men are holy places personified. Because holy place means a place where Lord stays. And holy men, in their hearts only Lord is staying. Wherever they go, there is holy place only. Like that. So tomorrow your assignment is, apart from this question, all parallel references. I'll take your papers. Send the bunch to me. Nadeva mritshila mayaha. Then darshana deva sadhavaha. Just by darshan. Tulayam alavena pinasvargam napunar bhavam bhavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimutasisha. That also we can include.
Regarding this comparison, that even after worshipping deities or bathing in the rivers, like they purify after a long time, but saintly sages, they purify immediately. Mm. But ultimately, when we meet the sages and hear from them, ultimately they talk about the devotional service only.
Correct.
Which is again worshipping the Lord, chanting the names.
Correct.
Ultimately,
worshipping the deity.
Worshipping the deity. Ultimately, the circle ends there.
Yes.
So, what
and they glorify Yamuna, Ganga.
That's what. Right. Ultimately, they are telling us to worship the same thing.
What does it mean? You have the knowledge of computers or electronics. With this knowledge, if you go to company without a degree from a bona fide university, they will not give you a job. Counts of universities say you got your graduation certificate. So you may chant mantras, you may do worship, you may take darshans, but all these which are done without the sanction and approval and blessings and guidance of a sadhu, and who directs you based on shastras, that is all, you can't say it's completely useless, but it cannot be so effective as much as you do all of them under the guidance of a sadhu. So devotional service done as per the prescriptions of the shastras, which are explained by a guru and sadhu, that is effective. Right? Why initiation is given importance? Why hearing from guru is given importance? Right? Because the efficacy of your following of process depends on how much you are aligning with the instructions of a sadhu and guru. Sruti smriti pranayadi pancharatra vidhim vina aikantiki harer bhaktir utpata eva kalpate. Because you see, simple Prabhu, what is that verse? Jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartaha sthane sthitaha shruti gatam tanuvan manobhir. So you may stay in your own place. You need not change all your attire and social position, etc. But if you surrender unto a devotee and perform devotional service under his guidance, then Mahaprabhu says, Eho Hai. Till then he says, Eho Bahya. Right? So, as I said, efficacy of your devotional processes depends on a devotee's guidance. Because whenever a devotee comes into picture, whenever a sadhu comes into picture, you have to surrender your false ego. You have to keep aside your own plans even to serve Krishna and serve Krishna according to the plans and guidance of the devotee. Humility is involved there. Tolerance is involved there. Without that namrata, what kind of devotional service we can perform? Array, this sadhu says that you do this, you follow four regulative principles along with chanting Hare Krishna. But I can chant Hare Krishna, I need not follow four regulative principles. That's work for that. After all, I am doing devotional, I can worship deities. I can worship more elaborately than him. But if devotee is not approving, what kind of worship you are doing? Krishna, simple, Krishna himself is saying here. Now the answer to your question is this 11th verse only. Ultimately they will bring to you, but bring to Krishna's devotional service only. And the object of the devotional service, Krishna is saying that I will accept your worship through them. Not through holy rivers, not through yajñas. Now, Yamadutas went to Yamaraj, saying that these Vishnudutas have cut our ropes. What's happening? Right? Is your authority valid at all? Then, you know what Yamaraj said? Simple. He quoted same Ajamil example. He quoted the same Ajamil example. The whole complaint of Yamadutas is, how can Ajamil be delivered? Just because he chanted holy name. Your authority has been baffled. Then Yamaraj quotes, see, holy name is so powerful, Ajamil is delivered. So it's like, they are also a little confused, bewildered. And I am asking the question about this issue only, and he is quoting that as a case study to prove that, see, you have been defeated. That question is that only. No, you are defeated because he chanted holy name. Same thing, answer to your question is 11th verse only. Okay.
From one more point of view, if you see like this, already these eternal teachings have been given by the sages only to go to pilgrimage places, to bathe in the rivers. Already they have been given by the sages and saintly persons.
Correct.
So ultimately people, if they are directly going to pilgrimage places, they are ultimately following the sages only.
Mm-hmm.
So in that ultimately, sense they are in parampara.
One thing, ultimately whatever information is there on the internet, Wikipedia or Google, so many other websites, but electronic circuits and computer knowledge, C, Visual Basic, C++, all these are there. You can do self, you can do some self-learning, but that is not valid, that's not accepted by people unless you show a bona fide certificate from a bona fide organization, educational institution. Is it not? That's how it happens in practical world. Because anything a person does on his own, because of his own whims, is contaminated by the four defects. Right? You know what is that? Karana, Patava, and then four are there, right? Brahma, Pramada, Vipralipsa, Karana, Patava. So these are affected. So, we can be freed from these four defects when we take guidance from a live sadhu. Live sadhu. Because, I am following scriptures, I will read this scripture which is written by Sukadeva Goswami only, which is written by Vyasadeva only, and which is explained by Prabhupada himself. But still, if a live sadhu can directly observe you and correct you and give some guidance on a day-to-day basis, if that is not there, the effectiveness of devotional service will not manifest immediately, will not manifest effectively. Because here Krishna is not denying the purification that happens by all these things. What did he say? In the previous verse, right? No, this verse only. Tirtha, Deva, Mrutshila, Maya, all these deities and holy rivers, he is not denying any purification that happens by them. But that is effective after a long time. See, urukalena, te punanti urukalena. He is not saying no purification will happen. He is only saying a long time, it will take a long time. Because you are figuring out things on your own. You are not surrendering to an authority and taking his guidance. You are not surrendering to a live authority. You are surrendering to an authority who is not speaking to you. Your acceptance of instructions from that authority is based on your own convenience and comfort zone. You are not ready for any corrections which are coming from a live authority. Getting right? You are able to understand the difference and of the purification that can happen through a live guide and a person who is just whatever I have to speak, it's there in the book. But there are some rare souls who just read some statements from the books themselves or shastras themselves or directly take care of the deities and then they perfect their lives. But it happens after a long time and it happens even in a short time also, but very rarely it happens. The faster purification and the, what to say, the purification for maximum number of people, more number of people can happen when there is a live sadhu.
How we can understand, like Prabhupada stresses on the fact that vani is more important than vapu.
Mm.
So in this case,
that's what I'm saying. Vani is more important than vapu. So the light in which we need to understand that is in a more mature perspective. That doesn't mean vapu has no significance at all. Why we say when so-and-so devotee is giving class in the temple hall, you should sit in the temple hall and hear. I can hear FM later. I can hear recording later after 10 years. When there is an opportunity for vapu seva, grab it. When there is no opportunity for vapu seva, take vani, right? And ultimately, definitely vani is important, more important than vapu, definitely. But the spirit in which we need to understand that is not to completely deny the vapu seva, not to completely ridicule and then make it useless, right? It's not threatening, it's not relevant. That's not the point that we are conveying. Right. Vani has its efficacy, but vapu also has its significance. Right. Because vani, you can interpret in your own way. If one is not mature, if one does not have such strong and deep connection from with the parampara, with the paramatma, then vani could be interpreted in any way. If you get a live confirmation, now for example, you just get an SMS. Say from me only. You need to create this map, Vrindavan forest map or whatever. The SMS has 3-4 lines. Now you have an opportunity to confirm with me if you have any doubt when I'm around. But if you just basically take that only SMS as the ultimate instruction or whatever to be executed, and there is no scope of clarification, if you get it out, even if it is written in Shastra also. Of course, SMS is not as good as Shastra, definitely. But Shastra also, you can interpret in your own way. Right? If there is a doubt, there is no opportunity to clarify that doubt. Opportunity to guide, to take some guidance. Right? You can interpret in your own way, and then let's go ahead with this. When you take shelter of only the, what to say, holy places or holy deities or only shastras without inviting a sadhu in your life, there is sufficient scope to understand things in one's own way and deviation also and concoct things also. If a live person gives you guidance on how to worship the deities, how to go, what should be your mood in holy place, how to understand this point in Shastra, this verse in Shastra. So Shastras are glorious, holy places are glorious, holy deities are glorious, holy name is glorious. But if all these three are done under the guidance, all these four are done under the guidance of a sadhu, devotee, bona fide devotee in the parampara, they are more effective. They are effective in a shorter time only. You need not wait for such a long time for them to be effective. Because we are missing the great opportunity, to understand them, understand their spirit easily, in a pre-digested manner. We have to utilize our own energy and intelligence to understand what exactly it is. I will worship the deities according to whatever is written in this manual. And if you need a clarification in that manual, whom will you approach? So, you don't want to meet a sadhu. You are trying to understand this manual statement instruction in your own way, and there is a scope for concoction, deviation, and fall down. Right? Does it make sense? So we cannot eliminate sadhu association and still perform bhakti. It may happen for some rare people who have such a deep connection with Paramatma, where Lord himself takes full responsibility of guiding such a person. We have seen Bharat Maharaj getting deviated because of lack of association of devotees. Okay. Now you give more elaborate answer to this question in your answer paper tomorrow by quoting more verses that emphasize sadhus association. 60,000 sages coming together and then saying that, I think holy rivers cannot purify us as much as you purify, my dear Sota Goswami. What else can be better proof? Krishna himself is saying here. Yeah, ultimately, sadhu brings us in contact with all these devotional limbs only, but we cannot take them on our own. We cannot digest them on our own. Simple, seeing a recipe book and cooking. And directly learning to cook under the guidance of an experienced chef. There's a difference. Ultimately, whatever is there in the recipe book only, that he will teach. But his experience matters. His personal presence matters. Now this book is there. Suddenly, guru comes here, or some siksha guru comes here, or some senior devotee comes here. Immediately, he will become a little disciplined and alert. Right? Somebody who is sleeping, he will just get down, get up, and then that's it. Something like that will happen. But only book is there. No sadhu is coming. He will continue to sleep. Does it make sense? It's a day-to-day thing. Unless a person's intervention is there, we cannot take full advantage of this shastra. Unless you have full determination and full support from Paramatma. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama payantate. 1:6. I will complete this purport, then only I will stop. Because the personality of Godhead is absolute, the Supreme Spirit, any representation of Him, whether manifested in stone, paint, etc., is non-different from Him. So, worship of demigods or ritual bathing in a sanctified place gives only limited benefit to those who lack transcendental faith in the Supreme Lord. Your faith on Krishna will increase if one just takes shelter of the deities and the scriptures and other things. The culture and the mood and the amount of faith in Krishna will not increase. Now, so many people, you go to Tirupati, daily now around 20,000-30,000 people attend, come and take darshan. Go to different holy places, they are all filled with so many people. After coming out of temple, I know many people who just eat meat. Saturday, Balajika day, will not eat meat. But Sunday, we should eat. It's a protocol. So why that purification is not happening, why that transformation is not happening in spite of seeing 10 times Balaji? Balaji is not, we cannot say he is less powerful. But they did not take darshan of Balaji under the guidance of a devotee. Not that the darshan that they have taken is useless. It will definitely uplift them spiritually to some extent. Not that their visit to holy places and bathing in holy river. There is a Pushkarani. Pushkaras. You know, 12, once in 12 years there are Pushkaras, Krishna Pushkaras and Godavari Pushkaras. So many people will. Kumbh Mela is here, right? There is many Pushkara going on in South India. So many people take bath. So many people. As soon as they come out of their bath, they will go for movie. Right? Definitely there is some purification, but not as much as when we come in contact with devotees. They are moving tirthas. So, I have taken so many holy baths in Godavari, Krishna. I have seen so many deities before coming in touch with ISKCON. But after coming in touch with Krishna, ISKCON, that's a different style only, different level of thing only.
Even a moment's association with them, especially by hearing their glorification of the Lord, can deliver one from all material entanglement. Bhavadvida Bhagavata Stirta Bhutaha Swayam Vibho. Just now, Hari Gopal Ru was quoting this. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we'll continue. Grinthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.